Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. It's August 30th, 2019. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Renee Note. Renee is an artist, illustrator, and graphic novelist. She's known for vivid watercolor and ink illustrations. Her work has appeared in books, magazines, newspapers, and advertising around the world. In 2019, Renee's graphic novel adaptation of Margaret Atwood's dystopian classic The Handmaid's Tale was released. The book received critical acclaim and quickly became a bestseller with several new international language editions in the works for next year. During our chat, Renee talked about her work on The Handmaid's Tale and the experience she's had during its promotion. She also spoke about her ongoing comic Witchling that's hand-painted in watercolor and ink. Renee also offered her thoughts on women in the comic book industry, along with the age-old question of whether comic books are art. But before I go further, here's some of the current news about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. Den of Geek recently interviewed Faith Erin Hicks, along with author Rainbow Rowell, about their new book, Pumpkinheads. When asked about the value of depicting worlds that reflect the qualities of hope, kindness, and empathy, Faith said, "I believe in a Star Trek future, where humanity eventually gets its stuff figured out, and a better, more positive world is created. I've never had much taste for dystopia, although I did enjoy the Hunger Games books back in the day. Or stories that revel in misery mostly because I find them exhausting, and as unrealistic as stories where everything goes perfectly according to plan. I think the world and other people are worth fighting for, and I want empathy and kindness to be the backbone of the stories I create, at least at this stage in my life. Maybe I'll develop more of a taste for darker stories when I'm older, but right now I want to offer encouragement to readers rather than grind them down." You can read more at denofgeek.com. Comics Beat reported about a panel about writing for comics that took place at Fan Expo in Toronto. Along with Matthew Rosenberg, Ed Brisson, Jim Zub, and Meredith Finch offered their own personal experiences when it comes to writing for the four-panel business. When asked about frustrations about working in comics, Meredith said, "It's very easy to lose sight of your writing voice, and that setting yourself up to do a Marvel book means that you might come up with an idea that you're not passionate about. A writer's biggest successes are those that come from the heart. Passion tends to be what readers respond to." You can read more at comicsbeat.com. Newsarama recently interviewed Mariko Tamaki, along with Steve Pugh, about their new graphic novel, Harley Quinn Breaking Glass. When asked about the choices faced by Harley in framing those choices for young adults, Mariko said, "The classic superhero story is, you know what's right and you know what's wrong, and so you do the right thing, right? You'd fight for the right people. But I think that often, especially when you're younger, it's not really clear what that is. You take into account what you think is fair and what hurts your feelings and what hurts the feelings of the people that you love. So I think it's much easier to go on that." You can read more at newsarama.com. And now, here's my chat with Renee Note.
Congratulations on all the success of Handmaid's Tale.
Thank you.
You've been doing a lot of promotional tours since the book was released in March. I just want to ask about the experience, how that's been for you.
It's been really nice. Everybody's been really enthusiastic everywhere I've gone. Yeah, it's. I've never had such a high-profile book out before, so it's a little bit overwhelming, the reaction that it's gotten, but very positive.
Is there one question that you're just sick to death of hearing?
A lot of people ask why I got this job specifically, which is kind of weird. Like, obviously, I got it because they liked my work and they wanted me to do the book. So that's a very boring answer.
Well, I know that you've been asked about lending your talents to the sequel that Margaret Atwood's working on called The Testaments. Is that anything you would even vaguely want to consider, or do you think you've had enough of this now and you just want to find something else?
Well, that would really depend on what the book is like and what it's about, because I know just as little as everyone else at this point. So I'm really excited to read it, and if it was something that would sort of suit my style and my style of storytelling, then yeah, I would be interested in doing it. But who knows, like this could follow a totally different part of the world of Gilead and be like not suitable for me.
You've been in the comic book business graphic novel world for a bit now, and I'm wondering if you can draw any parallels between the story of Handmaid's Tale and the inner workings of the comic book business, or is that too big a stretch?
Wow, that's a pretty dark question. I don't know if there's any direct parallels I can draw, not without insulting some people.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just a question out of left field, and there's a lot of women in the industry who've tried to make a go of it, and some successful and some not. And
yeah.
And I was just actually talking to Cecil Castellucci. I was just out talking with her. She was doing some work with Mariko Tamaki with DC Comics on trying to get young women involved in comics.
Oh, that's
I know there's
great.
A big effort going on. I'm just sort of saying, well, gee whiz, you know, you've been trying to make a go of this and you've been successful, and others are also trying too. And I'm wondering if you think that there might be too much of a situation that maybe women don't get the opportunity these days.
Oh, absolutely. The comics world is pretty hostile toward women, at least like when you get up to the higher levels. When you talk about like indie comics, it's pretty much 50-50. But once you get up into the higher levels, who's getting the big publishing deals and the big art deals, it's mostly men. And a lot of them don't want to see women drawing, especially in superhero comics. They don't want to see women drawing or writing stories about their favorite characters. So, yeah, I know women in that side of the business face a lot of hostility.
Now, I know that most recently you were at some conventions with Hope Nicholson. I know that you guys were hanging out there. I know she's had some great success as a publisher. Any chance you might be working with Bedside Press in the near future?
Yeah, well, I've worked a little bit with her doing some art for, it was the Secret Lives of Geek Girls. So we have some projects that we sort of want to collaborate on in the future, like some anthologies and stuff that I might do some short stories for. So, yeah, hopefully.
Cool. Good, good, good. Maybe we could talk a bit about your background. I was curious to know, you know, what was your first comic book and how did you get into comic books?
Oh, like the first one I read?
Yeah, yeah, curious.
It was probably Tintin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I went to a French immersion school. So the only comics we were allowed to read were French language comics. So we had Tintin and Asterix and a bunch of other ones. Yeah, I think it must have been Tintin. And then, of course, like Archie and stuff.
Right, right. And that sort of drew you, no pun intended, to the world of comic books? Or do you think there was something more to it?
I just always really loved comics. Like, I think almost everybody as a kid, when they pick up a comic, they just have to read it. It's really almost compulsive. Like you see the images laid out. And even if it's about like filing your taxes, you're interested to like turn the next page. So yeah, I think it's the same experience for everyone, but definitely that was a thing for me.
Now, I know you attended the Sheridan College and took their 3-year illustration course. Wondering, looking back now, was that course useful? And would you recommend it to others wanting to get into the profession?
That's difficult because it was very useful in that it taught me to be much more disciplined with my art and much more, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess like self-critical, but not necessarily in a negative way. I don't know if I would recommend it to others because the program has changed a lot.
Ah.
It became a degree program once the school was accredited. So now I believe there's a lot more breadth courses and a lot less studio time.
You moved on. I think one of your works that you've been working or had worked on, sorry, Witchling. And I'm wondering if you talk a little about that because everyone's been focused on Handmaid's Tale. And I think people have forgotten that you did other work besides that.
Yeah, well, Witchling was sort of a project that I conceived of for myself. And because it was just me and me publishing it, I just included all the things that I like to draw. So cats, monsters, 1920s fashion, forests and trees, basically just like everything that I like so that I would never get bored of drawing it.
Is that something you would continue? Is it ongoing or has it concluded?
No, it's definitely ongoing. It was definitely put on the back burner for a long time while I worked on Handmaids. So it's going to take a little bit of time to like find the threads of the story and pick it back up, but it's something I really want to do.
What are you working on right now? Can you talk about any new projects that you've got coming up?
I'm mostly just working on some short form stuff. I'm trying to like experiment with my art style and push it in different directions to see where I want to go with it. So yeah, it's a really fun period where I get to experiment with different things. And hopefully I'll put all these little stories that I'm doing together into a book at the end.
I mentioned before that you've been doing a lot of appearances and you've got many more coming up. One of the ones I noticed is the Hong Kong International Literary Festival. And I'm curious about that. What is that all about?
So I've been getting invitations to a lot of like proper literary festivals, which is something I've never done before. And they're totally set up different than Comic-Cons. But this is going to be the first one I'm doing in Asia, and I'm very excited about it and hoping that the political situation is resolved somehow by the time it's time for me to go.
Do you think these type of events, such as literary festivals, take comics and graphic novels, consider them as true literature? Do you think there's still that prejudice against them?
It's hard to say. There are a lot of panels that I'm being put on where they talk about, like, are comics art or, like, are comics literature? So obviously there's still a bit of pushback to that idea in the literary world. And I think it's changing slowly. I mean, this has been a conversation we've all been having since, what, the 80s when Mouse came out?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it's starting to penetrate through people's minds that comics are literature and are art.
I guess there are some different levels. Like people might say, well, Handmaid's Tale, definitely. I mean, that's a piece of literature and definitely makes sense when you turn it into a graphic novel. But maybe Archie might be a bit of a stretch.
It's weird, though, because the whole medium they try to pigeonhole it into one genre. Nobody would ever say, are movies art? Like, even though there are certainly stupid movies and very artistic movies. So nobody tries to like pigeonhole the whole medium into one genre, except in comics.
Thanks to Renee for the chat. You can discover more about Renee on Twitter at ReneeNote and online at www.reneenote.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website and follow along on Twitter at True North Comics. Please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics Podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2019.